about the journey of the baby. We talked this last week about what journey the baby did, what journey the baby came through. We started out with the prophecy, and by the way, again, I want to reiterate to you, I went over two parts in the Old Testament that were prophecy, but there's so many. Preacher even gave you another one in the morning service. There's lots of them. The whole Old Testament is basically prophecy about Christ. And so I want you to understand that it was not an exhaustive list. None of these are. But his journey began in prophecy. He's from everlasting. And we talked about that as well. He's always been. That's the great thing about Christ. He's always been. Christ will always be, and we're so thankful for that, knowing that we've got an eternal God, eternal in both directions, amen. We know that he's always been. I don't know how, and if you try to figure that out, I think you're going to get a big fat headache over it. Just believe that it is. He's eternal, always has been. We're excited about that. Then we saw the private proclamation in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, where the angel came down and gave Mary the good news. Came down and told Mary, how would you like to be Mary? And you've been told that by an angel. You know, think if you put yourself in those positions, you say, well, Mary just ought to accept that good, you know, that just was her, that was Mary. I'm sure she was a little bit surprised when the news came that she was going to be the one that was prophesied about, amen? So we talked about that a little bit, and then we talked about the performed promise in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. We talked about the preparation of the prophet a little bit in Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 real quick. We're going to kind of start off there in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Very, very important man. Also had a miraculous birth. John the Baptist. He had a miraculous birth at basically the same time frame. Elizabeth and Mary are basically at the same time frame having their children. Pretty exciting that Elizabeth, her womb was barren. Mary, of course, was a virgin. So both of them are miracle births. Not surprising to me that John the Baptist was not the forerunner of our church. Jesus was the forerunner of our church. He established the church while he was here. But he gave John the authority to baptize, not making him the baptizer. He was the Baptist. And we're excited to carry that name, but that's not only why we carry the name Baptist. Baptist has a wonderful grand heritage that we can look back on. Don't have time to talk to you about it now. But I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm excited about that. That's something that the Bible teaches. If you follow the Bible, you become Baptist. That's just the way it's going to work out. And I'm excited to be one. And if you look at this miraculous birth and look at this portion that John had played in the journey of the baby, if you look at verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, verse 76 in Luke chapter 1, what was John's job? It says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." John's job, and it was the only guy for this job, was to prepare the way of the Lord. He was prophesied of, by the way, don't have time to go back to there, but his way was prophesied of. John the Baptist was prophesied of back in the Old Testament as well. Why? To give knowledge of salvation, verse 77, unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. John went into the deserts, went into the wilderness until the Lord called him out, say, hey, it's time for you to come to the town. It's time for me to get baptized. That's what it was. It was time. Jesus used John the Baptist specifically, his miracle birth. Jesus used him specifically to make sure that he had the right authority for the baptism of Jesus Christ. Jesus cared enough to fulfill all righteousness. Let me say that again. He made the rules. Jesus made the rules. He made it to fulfill all righteousness by going and getting baptized by John the Baptist. That's what he did. He walked 60 plus miles to get to this place to be baptized. This is a part of the journey of the baby, preparing John to make sure that he was available for Jesus' baptism later on. They were babies at the same time. This is part of his journey. This is part of Jesus' journey, is to prepare this prophet to make sure that his ways are before the people, to make sure that that Jesus has the opportunity to make the crooked path straight. All of these things Jesus has set up. All of these things Christ has made sure that they are prepared. Even as a baby, Christ, of course, this has always been set from prophecy of old, but even as a baby, his ways were already being made prepared for him. Now the next, we stopped at pilgrimage of the parent. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Seems like everybody's adopted that rule ever since. Just you live in America, now you're taxed a lot for everything. I think we're up over 50 cents to the dollar, we're taxed now. So if you make a dollar, you really only made about 48 cents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ha ha! Aren't you glad you came? So, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He made this journey with Mary, great with child. Mary was so great with child, by the time they got there, she had the baby. Mary was so great with child that she jumped on the back of a donkey and rode, as far as I can tell, 73 miles. Ladies, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you're throwing a leg over any type of mule while you're 9 months pregnant. Amen? I don't believe that any of you are, they can't wait to get on horseback to go 73 miles being great with child. I don't know about you, but this part of the journey of the baby was an incredible, it's an answer to prophecy. It must be this way, by the way, because that's how prophecy was in the Old Testament. That's what it said was going to happen. So if that's what it said was going to happen, it must happen. God bless Mary for making that journey. Because if she decides to stay home, the prophecy's not fulfilled. We have not a Savior. See, every portion that I'm bringing to you must come to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, then Christ is not who he said he was, because Christ cannot lie. So he says these things, making the rules, knowing his mama is going to have to get on the back of an animal and go 73 miles. And it's not like it's going down the street 73 miles. This is going on a little trail through mountains and all these things that they had to do. I'm sure the weather was not cooperative. Not like you can put the top up. I'm quite sure that the journey was arduous. I'm quite sure that there was a lot of peril along the way. Oh, I'm quite sure that the Lord took care of the whole thing, but understand this, it is still an incredible journey for Christ the baby to be born where he said he was going to be born. I reiterate, and I know I come back to this a lot, but do you understand how important it is that you have the Word of God in your hands? Because if you don't have the Word of God in your hands, how do you know when Christ is telling the truth or when it's a lie? How do you know? You don't have any idea. Even if one word is changed, let me help you out a little bit, folks. The Bible says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7 that the Lord is going to keep his words, not man. And it's a good thing he did, because then we can know that we know that we know that what he's telling us is truth. When you follow the journey of the baby, the journey of the baby is foretold in the Old Testament. It must be followed. I'm so glad that it was. If you look, the next thing is the prohibition of patronage in the inn. We still to this day don't have any room for him. Look at this now. In Luke chapter 2 in verse 7, if you look at, let's read verse 5 too. To be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It's amazing to me that they sought shelter in a place such as this, but they knew they had to have shelter. It's amazing to me that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is the room he had prepared for himself. See, you got to understand, Christ knew everything. There was nothing he didn't know. There was nothing that occurred to him. He knew when he got there he was going to be born in a stable. He knew when he got there he was going to be laid in a manger. He knew when he got there he was not going to be there was not going to be room for him in the inn. He knew when he got there there was going to be no form, no comeliness, no desire should be ahead of him. He knew when he got there that nobody would be interested. He knew when he got there that he was going to be put in this place. He knew when he got there that nobody would be interested in his birth. You know how I know that's true? Who was there? See, when you look at the inn, if the inn has no room, what then must be known of the inn? It is filled with people. It is filled with people that came so close to Christ. It is filled with people that were within feet of the Savior. It is filled with people. And by the way, do you think the streets were not filled with people as well? I mean, it was tax season. Everybody was there. Everybody was walking the streets waiting to pay their taxes. Everybody, I guarantee you that was a hustle and bustle in place. And I know that it normally isn't, but there it is. Bethlehem, there it is. A full town of people that perhaps walked by Mary. Think about that. Perhaps rubbed shoulders with Mary. And there they were, walking the streets of Bethlehem, and inside of her is the Savior of all men. Imagine how wonderful Mary had to be. Think about Mary for a minute here. Mary is carrying the Christ child. Walking the streets, coming into the inn, she did not say, "Do you know who you're talking to?" Right? She did not say, Joseph didn't run in there and say, "You don't understand. My wife is carrying the Messiah." Of course, they probably would have looked at him like he was nuts. But he didn't go in there shouting, "You better have a place for me." He didn't go in there shouting those things. Could you imagine her walking down the street wondering if the people that she passed by were going to know who her son is? You think that ever crossed her mind? She was a good person. She was a blessed art thou among women type gal. I'm wondering if she thought about the people that passed her by. If you only knew who was inside of me. If you only knew. If you only knew, you might take me into your house. If you only knew, the barn would not be the place where this child was born. If you only knew. If you only knew what I know. Christian, as you walk the streets during this time of year, I wonder if you ever think about, man, if you only knew my Savior. Think about that for a minute. Man, if you only knew. All these people have the access to Jesus Christ. Back then, they didn't have the complete story. They didn't have the New Testament laying in front of them. The New Testament was being lived. The New Testament was being done, was being accomplished. We don't have that. We've got the whole story in front of us. We can celebrate his birth long after his death. We can celebrate all the things that are written about him. And yet I wonder if we're out Christmas shopping. I wonder if we're out there during the winter hot season. I wonder if we're out there during the Christmas time. I wonder if we ever think of who passes by us. I wonder if we ever think about, man, I wonder if they know my Savior. Man, I wonder if they know that Christ that was born. We're losing a battle day after day after day in public scenes where they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Hey, I would love to tell them, listen, the only reason you're buying gifts is because of my Savior. Tell me I'm wrong. We're not celebrating the winter solstice. Nobody likes winter. We're not celebrating Hanukkah. Some are, but we're not. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. The people that are out there, all the sales, all the Black Fridays, all those things are because of a Savior that there's no room for. I wonder if Mary thought it would be this way. Boy, think about that for a minute. Blessed art thou among women. I wonder if Mary was walking the streets today. Can you help me with that? Think about Mary walking the streets today. What would Mary think today? I bet you she'd be a soul winner. I bet you she would say the verse over and over again, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I bet you she'd stomp into the Catholic Church. Huh? Come on now. I bet you she'd stomp into the Catholic Church and tell the priest, "Hey, listen, buddy, I was a sinner. Hey, listen, buddy, I needed the Savior that was born, and so do you. Forget transubstantiation. It's faith." See, what we got to come to grips with is, I wonder, during this journey of this baby, I wonder if the journey of the baby has ever made it to you. I wonder if the journey of the baby made it out with us last night. I was thinking about myself just a few minutes ago. Do you know it never dawned on me last night? Hey, I'm just admitting to you what I thought about this morning. Here I am getting ready to preach this, realizing that it never came to my mind last night as I was out buying gifts for my children. Think about that for a minute. I was worried about, where am I going to get the thing that I want to buy for my children? Amen? Well, I wonder who would have the best price. I'm a cheapskate. No doubt about that. I wonder where the best price is going to be. I wonder where the best deal is going to be. I wonder where I'm going to eat. That was on my mind a lot. Where am I going to eat? But as I brushed past person after person after person, I hope you're not guilty of this. My chicken sandwich was more important to me than the birth of Jesus Christ. Hey, whatever. I'm telling you that we, myself, went out and didn't remember Christmas. Here they were, hustling and bustling in a town that they were there to pay taxes. Hustling and bustling in a town where they were going to sleep the night with Brother Jack Dollar and Sean doing moo and hee-haw. They're going to spend the night in a place that you and I probably would put our nose up at. Willing, yea, must be born there. And we, as walking the streets, bustling by people that probably do not know him. I had the opportunity to preach 2 funerals this last week. I praise God for that ministry. That has nothing to do with me. That's all the Lord. That's all the Lord. It's crazy that I'm doing that, by the way. That's weird. But I praise the Lord for it. I got to meet this lady. I knew her. She was a lady down at the license bureau. When I walk in down at the license bureau, everyone runs and hides. Because I'm bringing bus plates and stuff to do. Okay, they hate that. Because it takes forever. Okay, and they just, you know, I don't know if they get paid on commission or I don't know how they get paid, but boy, when they come, into the back they go. And this lady was talking to me. I didn't realize that's who she was. I knew I recognized her, but I didn't know from where. And she says, and I said to her, she said, "Well, I worked down at the license." I said, "That's it. You were down at the license bureau." She says, "Yeah, and you're the preacher that brings in all the school bus stuff." I was so excited that I was able to give that lady a track. I was so excited I was able to give her mama a track. I was so excited I was able to give all those people that were there a track. And not only that, I was able to give them a gospel witness during the service. Why? Because this is Christmas time. They need to know my Jesus. As that baby was there in that city, no pomp was made for him, no circumstance. As he was there in that city, nobody crowned him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Nobody said, "The Christ child is here." Nobody said, "Glory to God, here's Christ." They went about and paid their taxes. And never, maybe never, getting to know him. Maybe good people. Think about this for a minute. Maybe good people. Maybe people that have done the Jewish tradition sacrifices all their life. Think about that for a minute. It was never the sacrifice. It was always the belief in it. Maybe they got to the point where that became work and became ritual. Maybe they got to the point where that was no longer a belief in it. It was just something they had to do. Christian, have you ever been there? Where church is something you just have to do? Come on now, I want you to think with me. Here we are, the baby's being born, and those may have been doing exactly what they were supposed to do, but in the midst of doing what they were supposed to do, they missed Christ. Do you realize that's possible? Do you realize it's possible to run a bus route and miss Christ? Huh? Do you realize it's possible? Think about this. You realize it's possible to be a preacher and miss Christ? Not that you lose your salvation. You lose your focus on what you're doing. Can you imagine it's possible to read your Bible and miss Christ? Can you believe it's possible to pray and miss Christ? Christian, what life are you living? You may be in the midst of all these wonderful things that you ought to do. You ought to do them. We ought to run bus routes. Good night. We ought to run bus routes. But in the midst of your bus route, don't miss the Lord that you're running the bus route for. When tugging the buses across the parking lot becomes more important than the message that they get in Super Church, we failed. When what treat they're going to get becomes more important than talking about the Savior that they've gathered in the Becca building for, we've missed it. When you show up for choir, let me pick something else. When you come to choir and sing, glory to God for that, but don't forget why you're singing. When you do your solos, I don't like show-offs. Take this for what it's worth. I don't like singing show-offs. I just don't like it. Because I think that they're trying to draw attention to them and not to Him. We got so many talented singers here. God bless. The Lord has blessed us. But any one of those singers at any time could lose focus on what they're doing. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to go and pay my taxes and do the things that I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Pay your dues. Amen. Think about this. As a Christian, paying your dues, showing up for church, giving to the ministry, doing all those things, and then missing the Savior, missing the birth of Christ. Many people that day missed it. And I'm going to tell you right now, the closer you get to Christ, the more sweet it becomes. You say, well, the closer I get to Christ, the more I condemn myself. I just feel like I'm such a sinful person when I get closer. Keep getting closer because His mercy is sweet. He is wonderful. And I'm telling you, during this journey of this baby, and I pray that I'm not taking liberty with these things that I'm telling you, but this is how I see it. I see it that they walked in a busy city, just as we walk every day. She's carrying the baby. We should be shouting from housetops about our Savior. She's carrying the very baby that's going to save the people that are walking those streets. And how many missed it? You know, Christian, I think that in our lives, and believe me, I think you ought to work. I think you ought to work in the ministry. I think you ought to do everything that you're supposed to do in the ministry. I think you ought to devote yourself to whatever you can do for the Lord. I really do. But don't let that get between you and Jesus Christ. The ministry should bring you closer to Him, not draw you further from. And some of us miss that. I've missed it before, where the work became a drudgery. And it does. Amen. It does. We're sinners. I understand that. But don't miss the birth of the baby. Amen. Not only the prohibition of patronage in the inn, but also the public proclamation. How exciting would this be in Luke chapter 2 again, in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, I bet you they're a little bit nervous about this time. If you think about shepherds being out in their field, watching the flocks by night, which would be, oh my goodness, could you imagine a kid doing that today? Staying out overnight with sheep under the stars. I don't like camping with a tent or a camp or anything else. These kids are camping watching sheep. And here they are. The angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." How many people get the joy of Jesus Christ? How many? All. Not all will take it. Amen? It's not Allah, it's Christ. That's the joy to all people. That went over like a lead balloon. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here's the public proclamation. It's now out of the bag. Glory to God. The prophecy has been answered. It's happening right now. "For unto you is born this day," right now, "in the city of David, a Savior." He's here. Christians, we need to be a little bit excited about Christmas. We need to be a little bit excited that he followed through with what he said. We need to be a little bit excited that now the angel is coming down and saying, "Listen, he's born." And here it is. "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know, I thought about this. He came, the angel, where did he go first? This public proclamation, where's this made? To who? To shepherds. To shepherds. This public proclamation was not made to the president. This public proclamation was not made to the king. This public proclamation was not made to the most veritable potentate. This was not made to noblemen. Come on, think with me for a little bit. Aren't you glad? This public proclamation was not made first to whoever was residing as governor of Bethlehem. This angel did not come down and say, "Hey, buddy, did you realize that Jesus Christ, the Savior of all men, is born in this day and you've got him in a stall?" It did not say any of those things. They went to the shepherds. He went, was sent, because he has to do what he's told. Angels are pretty good about that. He had to do what he was told. The first public proclamation, public, to people, was to shepherds. See, that should give you hope. Do you know why? It should give you hope because those were common people. Guess what we are? We're common people. And by the way, do you know what happened when somebody of power finally heard that the Savior was born? What happened? "Well, I got to kill that guy." What did he do? He sent men out. "Man, you got to find him and tell me so I may come and praise him too." I praise him with a knife. Let me tell you, they didn't go to people of power because people of power were threatened by this Savior. People were threatened by this one that was prophesied King of Kings. They were threatened by this governor that shall govern. They were threatened by this man who may take over their power. So they went to shepherds. They went to people common, not wealthy. They went to people common, hardworking. They went to people common, common. Why? Because they would love him. Do you know why it's so hard for rich folks to love Christ? Because they never see a need to love him. It's not that they can't. Oh, man, you can. And rich folk have. The Bible gives us examples of rich folk that love Christ. But please don't misread me. They can. But it's hard. It's hard for that. Not hard like Jesus makes it hard, but it's hard for them inside of them because they don't see the need for Christ. I got everything I ever need down here. What do I pray for? It's difficult because they don't see it. I'm not saying that's why the angel came to those people. I'm just glad the angel came to those people. The birth of Christ was proclaimed publicly for the first time to shepherds, abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. He came to them. And what did they do? What did they do? They went and worshiped him.
They beat feet to worship him. Let's read a little bit. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, by the way, I want you to see this now. The shepherd just got the proclamation. Look what happens after. And suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. If you think the shepherds were nervous before, now there's an entire heavenly host there in front of them. You think, why, that's no big deal. I'm thinking, if I saw an angel, the countenance would be like lightning. I may be affrighted. These shepherds were out in the middle of nowhere. It's not like there's a McDonald's or a Walmart right down the street. They're in the middle of nowhere with their sheep. Out of the heavens comes Gabriel. Out of the heavens comes these multitude of the heavenly host. And there they are praising God in front of them. Their audience of the heavenly host, the audience, are shepherds. I love that. I'm common. I'm not wealthy. He doesn't appear just to preachers. He doesn't appear just to kings. He doesn't appear just to important people. He appears to shepherds. That means he can appear to me. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go. Can you see this now? I'm all done for this morning. I want you to see this. This is the journey of the baby. The journey of the baby, the people that he commandeered to his bedside. Can you help me a little bit? The people that he called to his side. The people that he made the announcement to. The people that he decided should be there. The people that he decided. He went to the shepherds. And then what did they say? Why? Let us now go. Let us now go. Let us now go. Christian, I wonder when you're called to the bedside of Christmas, Jesus Christ, I wonder if you say, let us now go. Why did he come to them? Because they would now go. I'm going to stop here. Why doesn't he come to you? The journey of this baby asked people to come. By the way, Jesus has always asked people to come. There's never been a time Jesus hasn't asked people. That's his whole deal, is asking people to come. He went to shepherds. Why? Because they would now go. I believe that with all my heart. He knew what was going to happen here. Nothing's ever occurred to Christ. He didn't send Gabriel to somebody he was hoping would come. He sent Gabriel to people he knew would come. Nobody in Bethlehem did. So he went out to the fields and got shepherds. Let me ask you a question, Christian. When Christ doesn't come to you, I wonder why that is. Oh, I know that you're saved, understand that. But how many of us, sometimes our Christian life is dried up? Sometimes our tears, they stop flowing. Sometimes we get so used to the commonality of the church and commonality of the services. We come into church services, I didn't get anything out of that service. I didn't get fed at all. Do you know why you're not getting fed? Because you're not coming now. Why are you not getting fed? Because your mouth's not open. Why are you not getting fed? Because you don't spend your week reading your Bible. Why are you not getting fed? Because you don't spend some time praying for the preachers. Why are you not getting fed? Because you come not hungry. Christ didn't send the angel of those that weren't hungry. He sent the angels of those that would now go. Now, I want you to come now. And they did. They said, man, I got to get out of here. Let us now go into Bethlehem. Let us now go. We got to find this man. Christian, let me tell you something. I know you're saved. I know he resides inside of you. But let me tell you something. There's got to be a time in your life when you feel like, oh, it's not working anymore, that you need to go to him. You need to make effort to say, I want a better life than this. I want a closer walk with thee. I want to know you. I want to know you. And by the way, only you can make that walk. I can't make that walk for you. I need to make that walk myself. I can't walk for you. You've got to walk. And let me tell you something. He's saying, come. Why do we have this Christmas? Why? Why? We have Christmas because I want people to come and see my Savior. Why do we have Christmas? Because you should want to come and see your Savior. Why do we want to have this Christmas? Because he should be proclaimed. Why? Because there's people that walked right by him and didn't even know he was there.
And sometimes, Christian, I got to be honest with you. We may be in the room and don't see him. We may be in the room and don't see him. Why did he go to the shepherds? Because he was looking for people that would come now. And he found them. Strangest place ever. Out in the field, watching sheep. That's who he came to. The public proclamation of the Savior of all men. The Savior of the world. I hope you can grasp what I'm telling you this morning. The Savior of everybody, the Savior of you. That public proclamation, the hint that he was here, was first given to Mary privately and then given to a group of shepherds. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord God, please let us understand that I believe to this day, even this day, you still are calling us. You still want us to come to you. Not just come to you next week, but come to you with haste, going now. Lord God, there's days in my life that my life has dried up. I get so caught up in the world and the heartaches and the pains and the work and the diligence that life is. And Lord, so many times I miss it. Lord God, help me not to miss it. Help me to go to you now. Life is wonderful to live, but it's so much more wonderful when you're a part of it. Lord, help us. Help us to take it more seriously what we're doing with our lives. Help us to take it more seriously what we're going to do with our soul winning and what we're going to do with our testimony for our own lives. Lord, help us to not come to church as a matter of duty. Help us to come to church because we want to. Help us to come to church because you called us here. Looking, hasting, praying for just one opportunity to get closer to you. That's what the shepherds did. They dropped everything they were doing and left immediately to get closer to you. Lord, help us take great rules. Help us to take great steps in our lives to do what they did. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Lord, help us to diligently seek you. Lord, anoint the service this morning. Anoint our cantata practice this afternoon. And Lord God, help us. Help us to come to the bedside of the baby. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.